Our text for today is from the second lesson from the book of James. And just for luck, we got this lesson today because if Martin Luther had had his way, the whole book of James would have been thrown out of the canon. Martin Luther did not like the book of James. He called it the straw epistle. He said that when you burn the straw off, there isn't any gold left there. And the things that he didn't like about this book is, in the first place, it only mentions Jesus a couple of times. And he thought that was kind of weird. But more important than that, the book of James, the epistle of James, talks about works righteousness, about doing good works. And Martin Luther had a belly full of good works, and he didn't want any more of that. He had tried his best to do enough works to merit God's favor. He had denied himself. He had starved himself. He had whipped himself. He had done all these things, and none of it did any good. And Luther's Aufklärung, his enlightenment, his aha moment, his I could have had a V8, came when he was reading the book of Romans and the book of John. And it finally came through to him. For we are justified by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So there's nothing we can do for good works to merit this. And that Luther was so excited about that any time he saw anything that seemed to talk about good works and works righteousness, he was like, out of here. But James it's an important book, though, and I'm glad Luther didn't get to throw it out. It's important. This James is the younger half-brother of Jesus. Remember, there was James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and his sisters. They don't get names because, well, women didn't count then. I mean, let's be honest about it. And so this is his next oldest half-brother, James. He became the leader of the church in Jerusalem after Jesus' ascension, and after a while he rose to that leadership position. But the book of James is a little bit different than the other epistles. It's kind of a cross between wisdom literature, like you have in Proverbs in the Old Testament, and a guide to congregational living, sort of a cross of that. It's very practical. It has a lot of great wisdom in there for congregations. And the section that we're looking at for today is where James is kind of taking his congregation to task. And I'm sure there was a lot of people looking at their sandals on this day because it's not very comfortable. He says to them, this is what you're doing. When somebody who has a little money comes in, oh, you fall all over them. And then somebody who's poor and in shabby clothes, yeah, go sit over there. You know, the people with a little money, they had a few more doors open for them than the people who didn't. They had a few more seats offered to them. They had a little more say in what went on. You think this is not an issue still today? So, anyway, James is saying, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You need to treat everybody alike. And how you treat people, that's going to show where your faith is. And so he concludes this section by saying, do you think your faith will save you? And I think we're kind of going, well, yeah. But he is saying, okay, but if you have faith, if you have faith without any good works, it's dead. Your faith should show up in what your little fingers and toes are doing out there. Your behavior should be showing that. So, for example, if you said, I really believe in education, I would expect you to be going to your children's functions or grandchildren. I would expect you to be telling stories at night, to be helping them with their homework and doing things like that. If you say, I love golf, I would expect to see you out on the links or watching it, you know, on television. If you say, I trust my wife, I would expect you not to get a detective to follow her. In other words, what you do should match up with what you say you believe in. If you say, I believe all people are equal, then that better look like that. That's what James is saying to them. He is saying that the position that the middle class folks are in, that's who he's talking to, those in the middle. That looks a lot like this bunch here. Saying that those in the middle are in the gap between what is and what should be, between the way things are and the way things God wants them to be. That we are in the gap of that. And that is the place of the cross. Is it not the fact that Jesus was the bridge in the gap between God and us? And we are to be the bridge between those who have and those who don't. We stand in the gap. Author Parker Palmer calls it the tragic gap between what is and what should be. He gives an example of that. He said that there was a guy in Hungary who escaped from a Nazi prison camp right at the beginning of World War II, and he fled to America. His name was Sandor Teszler. He was trained in textile industry. He knew a lot about making cloth and so forth. He came over here, he worked hard, he saved his money, and he was in South Carolina, where a lot of textile stuff, Spartanburg and around in there. And he wanted to start his own textile mill. And he knew there was a lot of racial tension. He had seen Ku Klux Klan members, and it reminded him a lot of the hate talk that he had had back in Hungary when the Nazis took over. And so he knew that this was all there. So when he had his mill finished, the building, when he was getting ready to hire workers, the mayor of the town came to him, a white guy, and he said, "Now, you're going to hire white workers, aren't you?" And Sandor said, "I'm going to hire good workers. Bring me your best workers." And then the pastor of the largest African-American church in the town came to him and said, "Now, you're going to hire black workers, aren't you?" And Sandor said, "I'm going to hire workers. Bring me your best workers." When he was done hiring, there were 8 white workers and 8 black workers. And there was 1 drinking fountain, and there was 1 toilet, and there was 1 shower, and there was 1 lunchroom. If you don't like it, don't work here. And by his standing in the tragic gap, in this case in between black and white, Sandor Teszler almost single-handedly began the integration of the textile industry in the South. One man standing in the tragic gap can make a difference. And that's what we're called to. That's the place of the cross. Not the place where, you know, we can suck up to the rich and get a little influence and maybe the trickle-down theory, so we'll get some of it. No, we're called to bridge the gap between those who have and those who do not. The first world and the third world. The gap between black and white, between male and female, healthy and sick, imprisoned and free. We are called to the position of the tragic gap because that is the position of the cross. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.